Testing 1, 2, 3.
Well, the bars move.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
I'm good.
You good? Okay. We're gonna go ahead and call the meeting to order. If you stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance with me. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Now we can take our roll call.
Okay. Mr. Adams is excused. Mr. Albright?
Here.
Mr. Greiner?
Here.
Mr. Kesselring?
Here.
Mr. McLeod?
Here.
We have a quorum, sir.
Very good. Read off the agenda notes, please.
Yes, sir. Cases heard by the Planning and Zoning Commission will be presented to City Council in accordance with the schedule provided after each case in the agenda. Please note that the City Council meetings will begin at 4 o'clock p.m. and are held at City Hall, City Council Chambers, second floor, located at 151 Southeast Osceola Avenue.
Thank you. Everybody have a chance to look at the minutes from last meeting? If so, we have a motion.
Motion for approval.
You got a motion for approval?
Second.
And we have a second. Call the roll.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Albright?
Aye.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very good. We'll get right into it for our subdivisions. The Market Street Heathbrook final plat.
Karen Cove, City of Ocala, 201 Southeast 3rd Street, 2nd floor. Before you use the final plat for the Market Street at Heathbrook, this site was developed through the city site plan process and is a ongoing shopping center out on State Road 200. It's a replat of parcel 19 of the Heathbrook North B2 plat. The infrastructure for the project is in. The city will assume the maintenance of any water and sanitary sewer mains 8-inch and larger as long as the appropriate easements are provided. The adjacent roads are public and there are cross access across the three lots in the plat for them to access public roads for ingress and egress. The drainage on the site is privately maintained. The plat that you have before you was submitted to address the December 29, 2009 memorandum from the city attorney's office as well as staff comments. Staff review has been completed and the city attorney is currently looking at this plat to see if it addresses his concerns. However, he did want to staff to bring to your attention there are existing liens on the property. He has concerns that if something should occur and the property should be foreclosed upon, that those lien holders would have the right to the dedicated improvement. The lien holder is a little bit different in whereby they're not required by statute to sign the plat. Mortgage holders are either to sign the plat or do a separate consent to agree to the plat. So he wanted this to be brought to the board's attention. And also the developer's attorney has expressed that other jurisdictions have allowed lien holders not to join in the plat and it has not created any problems. But he wanted you to be aware of this, and there's some language based on our recommendation of subject to legal review that he has provided with his concerns. The engineering department is recommending approval of the plat subject to, as I said, final legal review, completion of all site-related projects on a closeout punch list, an as-built drawing for the utilities to be submitted as well as the final site as-built, and payment of any outstanding property taxes required by the subdivision code.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for staff? So we don't really need to get any kind of legal opinion before we make a decision tonight. We can make it.
No, Mr. Gooding has rendered his legal opinion on his staff comments. He is reviewing this, and I would imagine that he will probably address that depending upon the developer's attorney's response to him, whether or not he's satisfied with her response.
Okay.
But based on his prior review and not fully reviewing this, he did want us to bring this to your attention, that he had concerns.
Okay. Any other questions? We're good. Thank you. Is the petitioner out in the audience wish to say anything?
I have no comments.
No comments?
No.
All right. Any questions for the petitioner from staff? I mean from Lord? All right. You're off the hook.
Okay.
All right. We'll open up to public comment. If anybody wishes to say anything for or against this proposal, please step forward and state your name and address. All right. We'll close that off. Bring it back up to the board for discussion or motions. Anybody?
In the motion to approve, you need us to make it subject to the legal review, the as-built for the utilities.
We're recommending approval subject to the bulletin item in the memorandum, which is the legal review, the as-built drawings, the conceptual completed, and the plan.
Discussion on the motion? Nope. Okay. We've got a motion and a second. Call the roll.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Albright?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion carries. Very good. All right. Moving on to the second annexation, ANX 10-0001, petitioner Florida Syndications LLC, Florida Limited Liability Company. Patty?
I have your monitors set for viewing the agenda package. If you want to see the overhead, there's a blue box with a button that will allow you to toggle back and forth between the agenda package and the view screen.
Blue box.
Patty Hitchcock on behalf of the Planning and Development Department. First case is ANX 10-0001. It is request of Florida Syndications LLC, represented by H. Randolph Klein, for annexation of approximately 2 acres of land located at 1530 Northwest 38th Avenue. The property is located just to the west of I-75 and was formerly used for the Jim Walters model home location. This property is currently located within an enclave, and annexation will reduce the size of the enclave and is permissible. The request has some accompanying petitions for a land use change from a county commercial designation to city wholesale business, wholesale and other businesses, and a rezoning from county commercial to city B5. Those will likely come forward to the May Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. Annexation is requested in order to obtain water and sewer, city water and sewer service for the property. Surrounding zoning, you can see it's an industrial and commercial area. I selected this shot so you could see that it is indeed within an enclave. On the aerial, there are still two of the model homes are still located on the property. Looking east, you can see the model home. I always found that sign to be quite recognizable from I-75. Another one of the model homes is looking east. This is looking north along Northwest 38th Avenue. You can see there's a heavy truck business located to the north. And to the south, I believe that was a sprinkler company. Standing at the back of the property looking east, you can see the two model homes, actually three model homes, one is in use as their office.
and some trucks being stored there. This is looking west. There is an RV park, and this is their storage area. And looking south towards the adjacent property from the rear of the property, and looking north from the rear of the property. This is my staff recommendation as part of the record, and based on the findings of fact in that staff recommendation, staff recommends approval of ANX 10-0001.
Thank you, Patty. Any questions for staff? Okay, thank you. Is the petitioner here?
Randy Klein, 333 Northwest 3rd Avenue, Ocala. I don't want to say anything to possibly lose this. it's well documented. Very simple.
Nicely stated.
Very nice.
Any questions for petition? Good. Thank you. All right. Open up for public discussion. No one? All right. We'll close that off and bring it back to the board. Any discussion or motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move approval of the annexation.
We have a motion for approval.
I'll second that.
And a second. Very good. Call the roll.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. Albright?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion carries. Very good. Okay, moving on to rezoning, ZON 10-0005, Metro One Development Company and Garber Investments, LLC.
I'm Patty Hitchcock on behalf of the Planning and Development Department. This is a petition of Metro One Development Company and Garber Investments, LLC, represented by Van Aken. The request is to rezone the property from M1 Light Industrial to M2 Medium Industrial. It contains 3.09 acres, and the existing land use is medium industrial. The property is located at 1419 Southwest 12th Avenue. It is obviously an industrial area. The request is prompted by a proposed use of the existing 26,000 square foot warehouse on the property. Antennas for Communications is looking for a relocation for their manufacture and assembly of radar protection domes. They're presently located in Silver Springs. They've been in business since 1972. One of the items that they're interested in is the ability to have outdoor storage. On occasion, they like to assemble one of the radar domes. They're quite large. In order to have prospective customers come see the product. And so they needed an M2 zone in order to be able to do that. This is the existing building. It's hard to get a good shot of it. It's presently surrounded by a chain link fence. This is looking south. You can see the warehouse bays on the north end of the building. Looking to the north, there's the Goodyear business, a number of other industrial and manufacturing businesses in that location. Looking north along Southwest 12th Avenue, again, you can see the large semi-tractor trailers. To the south is the Etheridge building. And looking south along Southwest 12th Avenue to the signal at South 17th Street. And the property to the west, also a large warehouse building, Blockers Furniture is located within that building. Again, I'll submit my staff recommendation as part of the record. And based on the findings of fact contained in that staff recommendation, we recommend approval.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? Thank you, Patty. Petitioner here.
Good evening. I'm Van Aken. My address is 615 East Silver Springs Boulevard. They need this M2 zoning. They manufacture the radomes that go over the Doppler radar systems. All their manufacturing will be inside of the building. But at times they would need to assemble the radome outside to be able to show customers, also show customers the assembly of the building. Also, they need storage of containers, the shipping containers, because they are crated and placed in the container and then shipped all over the world. And one of the few companies that's doing well in the business right now because of the need for the Doppler radar systems and the defense radar systems. So they're expanding, and that's a good thing. So I'd ask that you would approve it as the staff has recommended.
Thank you. Any questions? Ms. Reagan? Very good. Open up for public discussion. If we have anybody want to say anything for or against, just state your name and address for the record.
Mike Etheridge, 1521 Southwest 12th Avenue.
Hi. I own the building that's south of it, the L-shaped building that's to the south, and some of the, that building there, that's actually an L-shape. That's the front of our building. If you go back to your overhead view, that shot there, the building that's south, that L-shape, the businesses that are on the L face north, and they actually face that unit. And I have a few concerns with the project. I was just wanted to voice concerns. I didn't, I'm hesitant to try to mess up somebody's deal, but I feel like, I don't want somebody to mess up my deal either. My concerns are on their storage. Is I know containers can be stacked. I didn't know how high they were planning on the storage. It was just going to be a single unit. Are they going to have any kind of barrier between us and, where the storage is, since our businesses are facing there? Also, with the outside manufacturing noise, I have some concerns. I don't know, are they just going to be bolting things together and so forth, and will there be noise? Also, would there be in storage containers there for the runoff? We have DRAs on our property. I don't know how that would round up, but there's no DRAs on their property. And the runoff, some of it comes on our site, some of it comes on 12th. And, with containers there, I didn't know if some of the debris could possibly come over with their runoff. And I guess one of the biggest concerns, I'm not too familiar with them, too, what can be put there, what cannot be put there. And if it's sold a year from now, somebody buys the business, does that give them, even if they say, okay, we're going to come in and we'll put up berms and we'll do all these things and satisfy, y'all's needs and concerns, and all we're going to do is bolt together some antennas, it's not very noisy and all that. If it's sold a year from now, 5 years from now, does that give somebody carte blanche of what M2 can be used for? And I'm not really familiar with what M2 can be used for fully. I don't know if somebody can go out there and then create heavier duty manufacturing. The area, I believe, the pipe plant across the street, M1, next to M1, that's M1. I might have done things a little bit differently if it was going to be M2 with the way the L-shaped is. But those are just my concerns. And again, I'm being a contractor, I'm obviously for growth in the town and businesses, and people need to have deals done. And I'm very hesitant to come up here and speak. But also, I don't want to have my toes stepped on, just trying to be the nice guy. So I just have those concerns. Those are concerns I was just voicing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Might be able to, Patty, you want to explain what's allowed in an M2?
The M1 and M2 uses are quite similar in looking at the industrial uses. They share light manufacturing, recycling center, research and testing, warehouse storage, and wholesale and distribution. The important difference between the M1 and the M2 is the outdoor storage. Outdoor storage in an M1 is quite restrictive, and the M2 district does permit outdoor storage, although a site plan of that outdoor storage area will need to be submitted to staff for review and approval.
Right. Now, there are also limitations on height and everything. Yeah, as far as the outdoor storage goes. And usually, I don't know if it's in the statutes or not, but usually they do require some kind of, fence or wall or screening, some type of screening.
I believe the height is restricted.
15 feet. And is there something in there about requiring screening or some kind of vegetation or berm or something like that?
You have a buffer between M1 and M2.
Right.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, it requires a 25-foot deep landscape buffer area, 10 feet deep with 10 feet deep with combined with a brick, stone, or concrete block wall against a use or district that's less intensive.
Right. So they would be required to put some kind of wall.
There'll be screening requirements.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I just ask? Even though this is an existing facility and they're going to be moving, it'll still require a site plan?
They'll be required to, there will be some kind of, and you can make that a condition of approval. Also.
Well, only that, not only for some of these other things that we've talked about, but one thing that Mike brought up about the drainage off of the site. I mean, I was actually involved when he built his building, so I do know that a portion of that site does actually drain through. And, you know, that was just the existing condition that we had to kind of accept. But if they change that, that may be a concern about trying to make sure they handle the drainage.
Typically, the city engineer would not make them submit any kind of a drainage plan if we didn't alter the impervious surface on the site. The drainage as existing would be allowed.
Even though it's changing zoning.
Yeah, it's only changing zoning. There's no change in, you know, no change in surface there.
Yeah. Question answered?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Mark Hart III, 1521 Southwest 12th Avenue, Suite 800. On the L-shaped part, my business is the very last one by DRA here. I'm just concerned about the look of it. So when I have customers at my store, they like to sit outside. It's really nice out, and I just don't want to block the view or have a rust-colored, you know, container here, a gray one here, or this one here, and debris flying everywhere. So, I mean, it's really nice. It looks great. And my concern is to keep it looking really nice.
All right. Well, yeah, I think that, like we said before, I mean, there is going to be some kind of buffer. And some kind of screen or something is going to have to be put up, and that'll go through the site plan approval process. So.
That's my concern.
Okay. Very good.
John Penn, 1521 Southwest. I'm a co-owner in some of the building with Mike. You said that there's a 15-foot height max on M2?
Yeah, I think that's what...
Is that what
I think that's
only single container stacking there because they are 8 foot tall. So that would limit the height, correct? It was 15 foot, I believe.
I believe so. I haven't looked at the specific section.
My concerns with Mike, if they did happen to sell it, what could future come on that? And no chance of a special exemption, anything letting this go forward with that. And keeping our M1, there's no way they can do something to that because of the outside assembly that was tripping us.
Well, I think that, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm speaking out of turn. I don't know. But, I mean, I think the only real difference between an M1 and M2 is the outside storage.
That
so,
is.
I mean, to do a special exception just for that is kind of defeating the purpose a little bit.
Yeah, there's no.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically making an M2 anyway if you make that a special exception to the M1. So.
I want to be a deal maker for them, too. I own the property across the street, and we fabricated a land berm, landscaped all the way through and done with irrigation just for that purpose, outside storage, to increase it a little bit. Didn't go through the zoning change because we knew that. So that was recommended from the city, and we did that. Right across from it was I think it's 12 foot or 14 foot tall. This would not be conducive to that at all because of the setback. Now they don't have the room to do it. I see their plan, what they're trying to do, and you said 25 feet buffer, is that what?
Yeah, against uses that are less intense.
That'll kill them right there.
Yeah.
That'll kill them. What kind of buffer?
So
setback. So that means that the trailers would not, if they couldn't go in that area and do that, that's going to kill them.
Probably what they'll do, but they can reduce that down to 10 foot.
They can. And they can, and across the street, in this case, there's not going to be, there would be no requirement on the west side.
Yeah, given the street frontage.
Right. Can they, Patty, they can do storage in the front yards in M2? Thank you. Yeah, they can. Yeah.
So
it
have the industrial
user
district is running a less than 10 foot district? No, no, parens 8. So the 25 foot landscape buffer, a 10 foot landscape buffer, and a wall. That's what you gave me, a 10 foot with a wall, a 25 foot with land, and I took the land because I had to set off the 12. We took the landscape berm. And we designed it. And I thought that's what it said, that it was 10 foot if you did a wall and 25 if it was. I really think that's gonna kill me because it was tight, but that was my concern.
Good, thank you.
Can I ask the
sure,
Mr. Aiken? Dan, do they know where they are planning on? I mean, have they thought about where they're planning on doing this outside assembly and stuff?
Yeah, I've got a little site plan here. I thought y'all would have had it in your in your package.
I don't think we have
one. No, we haven't gotten one.
See where the north arrow is? Do I need to put my name in here again?
No, you're fine.
Mm-hmm. See the north arrow on the northeast corner. There's a loading dock area, the little square up there in the top.
Mm-hmm.
Right there in the corner is where they would assemble the radome. Up in the northeast corner of that parking lot area. That whole area is all on the back side of the building is all asphalt. And that's why, you know, they're attracted to it is because they could use that asphalt area. It's already impervious. Use that asphalt area for the storage of those containers that would be used for the shipping of the radomes. The radome assembly is done with power tools and wrenches. The pieces just bolt together. Just like the Epcot dome, just not quite that big.
And the antenna, these are drive-off containers, right?
Right.
So it's essentially a trailer.
Right.
A truck comes in, attached to it.
They just have wheels up underneath it. They take it and move them.
They move it with
them. Load them, and then set them on top of the trailer, and they're shipped that way. The other issue, you know, Michael Etheridge had addressed was the stacking of containers, and they will not be stacking the containers. They don't need to. They've got enough area there to be able to do that. And, you know, yes, they are asking for an M2 use, and, you know, there are other uses in an M2 zone that could possibly go in there. I mean, I can't, you know, say in the future what if it was sold, you know, what could
this plan here, it would appear once they integrated a buffer in there, it's really going to chew up some space along that south boundary.
I don't know what that dimension is between.
Well, the containers are 8 foot apart.
Yeah, 8 by 40 shipping containers.
It looks like it's about 60 feet or so, you know.
Yeah. Even if you took just the 10 foot, it would make it pretty tight down to put them along that south side.
Yeah.
In looking at it, it would appear that from the edge of a container, probably 40 to 50 feet, you take out 10 feet for landscaping and a wall.
Well, those containers are 40, it's 60 feet.
That's what it is.
Look at the scale, in order to grow quickly.
Well, we can't scale it on here.
Mm-hmm. You're saying that the dimension there is 70 feet.
Push 70 feet to the property line.
70 feet to the building, to the property line.
Okay. Yeah, they're like, just measure the 40 foot.
Well, he said a 70. That's probably about right.
You know that this just, if they're, I mean, there's 21 containers on there, whether they're, that's just maximizing, or if that's...
That's just maximizing. Joe Delaney here, he's the administrator for ASC, if you had some questions for him.
Yeah, maybe if we knew, like, how many they typically needed, or if they just, an engineer drew those in to maximize things, you know?
Yeah, just say your name and address for the record.
Yes, Joe Delaney, and I live at 1793 Northwest 47th Terrace. And I work for ASC, and the containers fluctuate in terms of the quantity that we have at any given time. And we build radomes that are moderate in size, like 20 or 25 feet in diameter, and also large radomes that are 80 feet or 90 feet in diameter. A large radome might take 7 or 8 containers to ship, and a small radome, 1. So, when business is great, we have 2 or 3 large containers, and we have half dozen small ones, and there are nearly 20. But more likely, the average of cases around 10 or 11 containers. And in some cases, they're only 20-foot containers. But they're either 20 feet long or they're 40 feet long. Those are the only 2 internationally standard size ocean-safe containers.
And you have them inside at this point? Is that...
No. We have them outside. We just have too small of a factory, and we're expanding. Our business is growing because the weather radar industry is, you know, very growth-oriented around the world, and we provide radomes for that, and there's also large communication systems upgrades that require radomes for their large antennas. So we have a segment of the economy which is very robust.
You said even your small radomes were how large? 20 feet in diameter?
20 feet in diameter.
And you're going to be putting those together outside, some of them?
No. The only time we put a radome together outside is in 2 conditions. One is if it's a brand new design and the tools are new, and we want to verify that all the parts are precisely the right dimension. That's quite rare, maybe once every 3 or 4 years. And then occasionally we have a customer who would like to either see the radome fully assembled or have an opportunity to have some of his technicians come and participate in an assembly so they can learn the techniques for doing the assembly themselves. And that happens perhaps twice a year.
Okay.
Sometimes in which case. And it's a case of taking 3 to 5 days to put the radome up and a day and a half to take it down. So it's not in any case a permanent type of setup.
Okay.
It's fully assembled with just hand tools.
Okay.
And scaffolding or some kind of thing.
So if the height limitations, though, this is kind of more to, I mean, if the height limitations are 15 feet, is that going to affect what you're going to be able to do outside?
Well, if there's a radome that goes up that's taller than that for and stays up for 2 or 3 days, is that a...
is that considered storage?
This is not a storage situation.
Right.
It's an assembly process. It's just a process for a petition. So it's not there long enough to, and or is it done frequently enough to
right.
have any impact?
Yeah. That's the only question I had.
Okay.
More of a clarification thing, I think, than just to make sure we're on the same page.
Okay.
Thanks. Any questions for Mr. Mondell can clear it up for us.
No, I don't think I can clear it up for you. Mark Mondell, Office of Long-Term Planning and Sustainability. What I'd like to be able to do is speak in favor of the proposal. You know the situation we're in our current economy with 20,000 citizens unemployed and over 15% unemployment rate. Unfortunately, one of the things that we face often as a community when we're looking at different projects, especially ones that are looking to create jobs, is we find ourselves sometimes in a situation where some of our own rules and regulations get in the way of being able to create jobs. I'm concerned in part about this particular corporation. They're located currently in the county, and if they're not able to find a property that suits their needs, I'm concerned about where else they may start looking, frankly. I'm not sure that that's your consideration, but it is ours. What I'm going to ask of you is the issues that you've identified and that the adjacent property owners identified are certainly worthy of consideration. But those issues appear to be largely design issues that could be solved at through design. The code requires the site plan to be addressed. So I think if you would give that consideration, allow this company to move forward through the process and work with staff and site plan to address any of the adjacent neighbors' issues and make sure it's properly buffered and screened so that the neighbors can work together, I would implore you to consider that. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Anyone else from the public wish to say anything? Okay. Anybody have any more questions for anybody that's already appeared? All right, we'll close off the public discussion section and bring it back to the board.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say I'm in favor of this, and the only stipulation that I think that I would say is probably as Mark identified is to provide a 10-foot buffer. And put back up the site plan again. Not even along the whole southern buffer, because if you remember, Mike and John have a retention basin there, kind of in the southwest corner,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And actually, all they're doing is kind of parking up to that. I think that really the area that we really need to be concerned about for the 10-foot buffer or whatever would be just along that very southern end, you know. And I'm not sure how exactly to identify that, but I think that. If they did do a wall and a few little things in there, you could probably solve a lot of these issues. You probably could even address some of the drainage concerns by just having a filter system in that green area. You know, so I think that Mark is probably right. You can handle all that through a design process.
Right.
So
I agree with that too.
It's
going to come back in front of us for site plan.
It makes it a little bit tighter there between the property line and the building. But I do think that since that is part of the code, we probably need to require that. You know, some buffer in there.
The buffer is going to be required.
Yeah. Right.
It's required by code. The plan's not going to come back before you. The plan's going to be reviewed. Once you change the zoning or make the recommendation to council to change the zoning, they change the zoning, the site plan will be reviewed that they submit to us. The outdoor storage will be reviewed at the staff level. You know, we'll take that into consideration.
Yeah. But I think that if we give you some direction from the board, staff will remember that.
Sure.
And
absolutely.
Give some credence to that one way or another.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
No.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and move approval.
Okay.
You
got a motion and a second?
Mr. McLeod?
Everybody's good with that? Call the roll.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Albright?
Aye.
Mr. Brenner.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion carries. Very good. All right. Yeah, it looks like that's it. Anybody got anything to say?
I do not.
No? Other than I think we're going to have two new board members next next month.
So,
what's that? Make him carry your briefcase in for you, John.
Don't watch old school before you come.
A basketball on the board.
So, meeting adjourned.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Hey, thanks for showing up.
Same thing.
You can't make out
my own. We were panicking.
No, I did that.
Thank you. Can I get your agenda book? Can I get that?
We could do all kinds of special exceptions. Really, and tailor it exactly the way we wanted it. Here, it's more black and white.
Yeah, is that your agenda book?
Yeah.
You get to keep it?
It really, that actually does.